Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome everyone tonight from around the country and in other countries to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Well, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. No music tonight. Just a cold intro, but I am here. I am live. I apologize for last week. I had every intention of doing the program. I was here, and we just couldn't make it work. Technical difficulties and whatnot. But we are here tonight. And it's astounding how much can happen within the span of 2 weeks, is it not? The big news, or at least the two big news items that took place over the last 2 weeks was the fact that we pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal. And I think more importantly for those of us who understand prophecy, who understand Israel's role and how close they are to God's heart, because I can't put it any better than that. We moved our embassy to Jerusalem. And a couple other countries followed suit. I think Romania, my homeland, is following suit as well. So what I thought was interesting was the reaction to the move, however. There were even Christians sending me emails going, do you think it's a smart idea to upset the terrorists? Do you think it's a smart idea to, you know, try to beat a hornet's nest with a stick? And what those individuals fail to understand is that the hornet's nest is already stirred up. And we saw the evidence of how quickly they could assemble and how quickly they can put up, you know, decent numbers to go and throw rocks, because that's what they've been doing. Hamas, or as George Bush would call it, Hamas, or as I heard a southerner say it once, hummus. Has mobilized. Hamas is on the border, and yes, children, avert your eyes. They are throwing rocks. Okay, the best way I can surmise the whole interaction with an organization like Hamas or Al Qaeda or any other of these suicidal, I get virgins if I die mentality sort of folks. It's like sleeping with a coiled serpent in your bed, knowing that eventually it will strike even if you do your utmost to try not to breathe too heavy, to try not to move around, to try not to scratch that itch on your nose. Look, whether or not the U.S. moved its embassy to Jerusalem, these people would have still found a reason to throw rocks, to use their skill with the slingshot to the utmost effect. Now, the fact that we did decide to move our embassy to Jerusalem, gave them an opportunity to showcase their throwing arms, to showcase their ability to sling rocks, and not the way they would say, you know, that there's two different meanings for slinging rock. I'm talking about actually literally slinging rocks, as in taking a stone and throwing it. So this is who we're supposed to be afraid of. This is the organization that should make us tremble to the point of not doing the right thing. for fear of retaliation. Consider that. Because, I mean, you know, people with heads on their shoulders and hopefully, you know, brain stems connected to the rest of them, we're actually trying to say that this was not a good thing because it will upset Hamas. I don't care if Hamas is upset. Since when do we not do the right thing just because somebody might be upset? But see, I think hatred for Donald Trump has blinded Christians to just how monumental the move of this embassy was. Look, I'm a firm believer that if you are a defender and a friend of Israel, God is on your side. It's no small thing for the God of all creation to say without equivocation, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, we can see the reality of that promise in real time. Do you realize that Palestinians living in Israel have a far better life? Palestinians living in Palestine, they earn more. They actually have homes. They know what toilet paper is. Little things, but important things. So this is a nation that has cursed Israel since its Torah inception. And they wallow in the dust. And they pitch fits like little children and throw stones. And of course, they found a way to spin it now. Even though, going back to William Jefferson Clinton, who said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and we should really look into moving the embassy, followed up by George Herbert Walker, Hamas ain't gonna intimidate us. I tell you this, Hamas don't know the strength of our resolve. We're gonna move that embassy. Followed by Barack Hussein Obama, who echoed William Jefferson Clinton and George W. Bush. And all it was lip service. Never mind actually moving the embassy to Jerusalem. They didn't even start the process throughout their presidencies. And they had 8 years each to do it. Billy Bob, 8 years. George W., 8 years. Barack Hussein Obama, 8 years. Each of them paying lip service to Israel, saying, oh, yeah, that's, you know, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. We all know it. That eternal city. Yep, yep. We know that. Yep. We should really look into moving the embassy. Yep, yep. And along comes Donald Trump, the man some Christians believe to be the Antichrist himself, because that's the reason he has a comb over to hide the horns. You heard it here first. And he said the same thing that Barack Obama and George Bush and Bill Clinton said. But unlike his predecessors, Donald Trump did something unprecedented. He did something so controversial that he shocked the world. He kept his word. That is the most shocking thing you can do in politics in America today. to actually keep your word, to actually make a promise and follow through and keep your word. Nothing is more shocking than that in American politics today. And nobody really paid it any mind because they thought, hey, this guy's going to just give lip service like all the other guys. But then lo and behold, the man followed through. So I don't care how you feel about Donald Trump. You got to give the man props when you got to give the man props. If you set aside all the propaganda, and if we have time, we're going to get into this, because the whole Trump investigation and Russia collusion thing has taken a very interesting turn, kids. We're actually talking about high crimes and misdemeanors, but not by Donald Trump. We're talking about high officials in the Department of Justice and the FBI colluding together, inserting moles into a presidential candidate's campaign, investigating him before there was even a whisper of Russian collusion. You have to acknowledge the fact. Once things really start to come out, and I think they have to, the dam has to break eventually. And when the dam breaks, it's going to spill over. And when you see the amount of opposition and how orchestrated the takedown of Donald Trump was from the moment that he became the Republican candidate, you have to take a step back and go, all right, he shouldn't have won. Logically speaking, he should not have won. Logically speaking, he took every single pundit and every single pollster by complete surprise. The New York Times had Hillary Clinton at 98%. 98%! Not 62, not 58. 98%! You know, that 2% in case, you know, act of God, her plane caught fire or her pantsuit strangled her or something. 98%. And even at that level, they were still trying to undermine the man just in case. These people are supposed to be public servants, kids. They're supposed to serve the will of the people, not dictate the future of a nation based on their whims. So, yeah, the U.S. Embassy moved to Jerusalem. And, of course, the whole Middle East is aflutter because they realize that this president keeps his word. And unlike the last president, he's unwilling to send $160-odd billion in cash just to placate bloodthirsty terrorists who burn the American flag and yell death to America every chance they get. So maybe it is time to get a little tough. Maybe it is time to try something new. Why not try to do the right thing? Why not try to not placate people who want to kill you? But one thing you got to give Hamas, or Hamas, or Hamas, however you want to say it, for a bunch of stone throwers, man, they know how to pick their moment. The Western media didn't do everything it possibly could to put terrorists in a sympathetic light, then maybe their stone throwing would not have resonated so. But I stopped watching the news. I'm just being forthright with you. I don't know what they're saying. Warm weather's here. I'm spending it with my daughters outside. And I don't miss the news at all. The only downside of being outside is that apparently for the last 2 years, my body has decided to get allergies. so I get itchy eyes and, you know, runny nose and all that good jazz. But it's worth it because I'm trying to build a tent in the backyard for my daughter, and we're going to bring flashlights out when it gets a little dark and we'll read stories and whatnot. So I stopped watching the news. But I know their nature. And I know that they're trying to put a terrorist organization, not just in the spotlight, but in the most sympathetic light that they can muster. I ran across a news article. And again, if they're good at anything, given the fact that they are using weapons from the third century, such as slingshots and, well, rocks, man, they know their PR. And they're okay with losing a few dozen of their own if there is a chance, if there is a hope of the world becoming sympathetic to their cause. And an article written by Aaron Klein a couple days ago says, Hamas predictably took advantage of the official opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem to stage a violent riot aimed at overrunning the Israel-Gaza border. So this was a hostile force that was attempting to overrun Israel's borders. It wasn't as though the U.S. moved its embassy to Jerusalem and in a fit of celebration, Israel mobilized its forces and went into Palestinian territory and started killing Palestinians willy-nilly. That didn't happen. Hamas tried to overrun the Israel-Gaza border. I don't know how many news outlets reported this fact, but if they did, I guarantee you it was only in passing and they didn't highlight it a single bit because it spoils the narrative. Israel's killing little babies, little terrorist babies. No, they're killing people trying to overrun their border. Now, if those people are sadistic enough to try to overrun a border while dragging their 10-year-old kid along, I'm sorry, that's not on the Israeli army. The Israeli army is defending its border. I know, that's so cold. Why is it cold? What would you have them do? Because if they would have let them overrun the border, where do you think they would have stopped? Why would they attempt to overrun the border? Because the falafel's better in Jerusalem? Because the price of fish is cheaper? Because the figs are fresher? The reason they attempt to overrun the border is to kill Jews. And it is the sovereign right of every Jew to defend him or herself from bloodthirsty barbarians who are trying to kill them. The only people to disagree with this, apparently, are some Christians, Nancy Pelosi, and probably Maxine Waters, too. So, the Israel Defense Forces, the IDF, said that 50,000 Gazans participated in the clashes. So this wasn't a handful of kids throwing rocks. 50,000 people participated. And even though 50,000 people participated, the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza claims that so far 43 Palestinians were killed and hundreds more were wounded in riots taking place at 12 locations along the border. So 43 out of 50,000. If you ask me, the IDF showed restraint, a lot of it, because This is not the first time Hamas tried to either overrun the border, lob grenades, rockets, threw rocks, tried to kill, murder, kidnap, or otherwise make unpleasant the life of Jews. So if only 43 Palestinians out of 50,000 went to meet Allah in the sky to discover there was no Allah and there were no virgins, then I say that was restraint. Yes, the IDF showed restraint. Bravo to the restraint of the IDF. Now, according to the IDF, three Gazans were shot while trying to plant explosive devices at the border fence, while others were killed attempting to open fire on Israeli soldiers. Their muskets must have jammed. They ran out of rocks. They went on to the muskets. Nobody taught them how to use them. Tough noogies. But yeah, if the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza claims that so far 43 Palestinians died, guaranteed the number's a lot lower. IDF says confirmed killed. Three, for sure. Who were doing what? Bringing flowers and fresh-baked cookies to the border to share with little Israeli children. No. They were trying to plant explosives at the border fence. Others were killed doing what? Attempting to open fire on Israeli soldiers. So any news outlet that tries to portray Hamas as a peace-loving organization is trying to propagandize you. Because there's two types of people that you are allowed to hate openly in this world without fear of consequence or reciprocation. There's two types of people you can injure with your words. You can besmirch at will, and the mass media will not call you out, and no one will boycott you. And you already know who those two types of people are. Two segments of society. The first is the Jew. The second is the Christian. These are the two that you're allowed to make fun of, to mock, to scorn, to belittle, to try to kill repeatedly. And heavens forbid that after multiple tries of attempting to murder a Jew or a Christian, they slap your hand away and say, "Stop that. Look at those hateful Jews and Christians. Look at them, bloodthirsty." Because that's all the IDF is doing, really. These people are trying to open fire on them. They're trying to plant bombs. And the IDF said, "Stop that. We don't want to blanket bomb your little sand pit. Stop that." And the whole world is up in arms over that. And you know what? I realize that maybe Germany's gearing up for Oktoberfest, so they're not really thinking about the optics of a situation. But the last country on the face of this earth that should be condemning Israel for trying to defend itself, its borders, and its very life is Germany. There they were. First to condemn Israel for saying stop that, for defending their borders. I don't know. Maybe German people are just too calculated and brutalist to understand optics. But having been the main reason for the annihilation of some 6 million Jews less than 60 years ago, maybe you should just shut up and let the Jews defend their land, huh? Maybe you should just bite your kraut tongue and realize that this is not the time to try and school Jews whether or not they should be able to defend their homeland, huh? But yes, the Germans came out and condemned the audacity of the IDF for defending the borders and stopping men who tried to plant explosive devices at the border fence. Now, the Times of Israel reports on the numerous violent attacks during the riots. And again, you have to read what these people, the lengths that they'll go to. And you have to realize that once in a while you have to slap them across the head and go, stop that. Protesters set tires on fire, sending thick plumes of black smoke into the air at several spots along the border, while the military said protesters assaulted the border fence and hurled rocks at soldiers. Several incendiary kites were flown towards Israel. One fell in a field outside Kibbutz, outside Mufalsam, sparking a fire. Israel firefighters and emergency personnel are at the scene. The Facebook page for the Gaza riots instructed followers on where to breach the border fence, an attempt to infiltrate Israeli communities. To do what? To have a march for peace. To walk hand in hand, Jew and Palestinian, and say, we love each other. Is that why? But see, this armchair quarterbacking, not just by Christians, but by the mass media, it's so disgusting on such a profound level. Look, apparently the stone throwers have a Facebook page. A terrorist organization has a page for the Gaza riots. And somehow it doesn't get shut down. But if you espouse Christian beliefs, well, you may just be a danger to the community, young one. So we're going to put you in Facebook jail for a while. You know, re-education camp. I'm not a Facebooker. Those of you that are my Facebook friends know that I don't post on there. Because it's futile. And I have better things to do with my time. So yes, the Facebook page for the Gaza riots instructed followers on where to breach the border and infiltrate Israeli communities. And Germany has the audacity, the gall, the uninspired idiocy to tell Israel that it can't defend itself. Maybe they just want a hug. We come, you know, we blow the fence, we put some bombs, we shoot a little bit, and then we come to hug you. We are not here to kill you, we want to hug you. Look, when it comes to situations such as these, where there has been demonstrable precedent that every time these people get across the border, they try to kill somebody, maybe shoot first, ask questions later, really is the best course of action. So our move to Jerusalem, or at least the embassy's move to Jerusalem, coupled with our pulling out Iran Accord, has thrown the entire Middle East into a tizzy. So because they can't profiteer from the gullibility of Americans anymore, the Iranian parliament is back to burning American flags and yelling death to America while parliament's in session. Because, you know, before that, while the deal was still upheld by the U.S., they only burnt American flags and yelled death to America during congressional or recess. So parliamentary recess. Now that the deal is off, they're doing it, you know, all the time. Turkey's dictator, Señor Erdogan, because he looks a little Mexican, insisted that, you know, we should form the coalition of the people of Islam and destroy the great Satan. I don't know why I said that with a Jewish accent, but they've always wanted to do this. This has been something that they've masked only because they've been able to profiteer, only because they've been able to make money off of our gullibility. It was a horrible, idiotic deal. These are people that will gladly take your money, do what they intend on doing anyway, and lie to your face that they're not doing it. Because that's the way they roll. So kudos to the current administration for actually having guts and a spine and a backbone and realizing that you can't placate the darkness. Look, how much are you willing to acquiesce to someone whose stated mission is to stand over your cadaver, your corpse, your dead body? Not peace, not coexistence, you and your goofy stickers on your cars. The death of you. That is their stated purpose. Anything less is failure to them. And you're worried about making them angry because we moved the embassy to Jerusalem? Look, the optics of this is strong. It told the world, hey, Israel has a friend. And it's not a sickly little friend, and it's not a weaselly little friend, and it's not a scared little friend. It's a pretty tough guy when it's got to be. And this is what has caused so much vitriol and anger. You know, what greater demonstration of impotence than to stand behind a fence and throw rocks? It's like that person honking at somebody a half a mile away out of frustration and anger. So, all in all, bravo, good deal. What else has been happening? I read this and it was hilarious to me because you could have predicted the reaction. You could have predicted the reaction of the left. And I think at this, it's just sublime, is what it is. There's no other way that I can put it. At a certain point, I guess a couple days ago, like I said, I stopped watching the news. But apparently, this is a big deal. At a certain point, Donald Trump was asked about MS-13. Now, if you don't know who MS-13 is, they're the kids with the face tattoos that really, really love violence. Look, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in a predominantly Latino neighborhood. And my freshman year of high school, a kid got shot in the face 17 times in the parking lot of the high school. And it turned out it was only one shooter, so the guy stopped to reload because it was a handgun and shot him in the face some more. And it was it turned out to be gang-related, and back then nobody knew what MS-13 was. But it was an offshoot. It was a branch, if you will, of the thuggery that is MS-13. Now, that's the context of the gang. And Donald Trump was asked, the context was MS-13, okay? This violent gang who do horrible, horrible things. There's an article that's not very old. This happened in Maryland. It didn't happen in Guadalajara. It didn't happen in some dirty, nasty place. This happened in Maryland. And it didn't happen a century ago. It happened in November of 2017. A man was murdered by MS-13 gang members who stabbed him more than 100 times, removed his head, and ripped out his heart. This is the context of the question. And Donald Trump said, they're animals and they have to go. Well, of course, you could have predicted the reaction from the left. It's like throwing a kitten a ball of yarn. It's going to be all over it. So true to form, everybody started saying Donald Trump called all immigrants animals. Everyone was tweeting and memeing and blah, 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 blah. And look, hatred makes you stupid. If you don't know that, this is going to be the nugget for tonight. Hatred makes you stupid. And right now you have an entire Democratic complex, the whole of mass media, and a sizable amount of Christendom who are looking for any reason whatsoever to criticize, even if they know that it's not true. Everyone started going on and on about Trump calling immigrants animals. No, it was a question regarding MS-13. And let's go back and see, you know, what these kids do. And they're not kids. But they're not planting trees and walking homeless ladies and carrying groceries for senior citizens. MS-13 gang members in Maryland in 2017 stabbed the man more than 100 times, removed his head, and ripped out his heart. The body was discovered on Tuesday in Wheaton Regional Park on the outskirts of Washington, D.C., in a grave that had been dug before the killing. Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego is the illiterate youth's name, 19 years old, has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder after detectives received information it was committed by MS-13 members. According to court records obtained by the Washington Post, the victim, who has not been identified, had been lured into the park by up to 10 gang members who were speaking with each other over walkie-talkies. Mr. López Abrego was the first individual to thrust the knife into the chest of the victim, Assistant State's Attorney Kelly McGann said. So, yeah, stabbed 100 times, decapitated, and heart ripped out of him. Or, as they say in California, the corazón ripped out of him. And again, because hatred makes you stupid, the Democrats were up in arms. How dare you call them animals? Well, what would you call them? And I don't know how you feel about her, but I like Sarah Sanders. I think she's got guts, man. I think she's got more guts than most Christians and probably more than 90% of the PC pastors nowadays. And of course, there was a press conference, I guess today, May 7th. It was today. And the media was all over this. Kittens and balls of yarn. You can't go wrong with kittens and balls of yarn. And so they wanted, of course, because they needed to find something. These are the same people that are saying Trump has blood on his hands because, 40-some-odd Hamas members, an untimely end because they were trying to blow up the border in Israel. They wouldn't have done it if we hadn't moved our embassy. Trump has blood on his hands. Really? You myopic fools. Now, when asked about the president of about the president's use of the word animals to describe members of the vicious MS-13 gang, this was Sarah Sanders' response. She's good. I like her. If the media and liberals want to defend MS-13, they're more than welcome to. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told reporters during Thursday's briefing after media attempts to frame President Trump's comments from the previous day as insulting to some immigrants. I don't think the term that the president used was strong enough, she said. One reporter had asked Sanders about the president's use of the word animals to describe members of the vicious MS-13 transnational gang, but instead framed the question by saying Trump used the term to describe some immigrants. Sanders sharply corrected him by saying the president was very clearly referring to MS-13 gang members who enter the country illegally and whose deportations are hamstrung by our laws. She described the gang as one of the most vicious and deadly, operates using rape, control, and killing. Best and brightest. That's what we want in our country, the best and the brightest. If the media and liberals want to defend MS-13, they're more than welcome to, said Sanders. Frankly, I don't think the term that the president used was strong enough. She then described some of the heinous acts the gang has executed. Front and center was the one we just talked about. She said it took an animal to stab a man 100 times and decapitate him and rip his heart out. It took an animal to beat a woman they were sex trafficking with a bat 28 times, indenting part of her body. And it took an animal to kidnap, drug, and rape a 14-year-old Houston girl. So you have Maryland, you have Houston. This is not an isolated problem, and it's not happening in Guatemala, and it's not happening in Mexico. In Mexico, they're finding duffel bag fulls of heads, decapitated bodies burning in the street. And this is what our beloved Democrats want to bring here. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you kindly. But no thank you. And she continues and says, frankly, I think that the term animal doesn't go far enough. And I think that the president should continue to use his platform and everything he can do under the law to stop these types of horrible, horrible, disgusting people. I agree. Trump used the term animal to describe MS-13 gang members during a Wednesday afternoon White House roundtable with stakeholders in the fight against California's sanctuary state laws. So even in a place like California, which by all accounts is liberal to the utmost, there are pockets of people who are realizing which way this thing's headed. There are pockets of people who are realizing that, hey, we need to stop this train before it goes off the edge, before it's too late and no one can stop it anymore. Fresno Sheriff Margaret Mims described to Trump the struggle her region faces in notifying Immigration and Customs Enforcement of illegal alien MS-13 gang members. But they're just children. Isn't that what they've been showing for the last 3 weeks? I'm assuming. The whole caravan of migrants, all of them children. 7-8-year-old toddlers. Some of them still have pacifiers in their mouths. How dare we turn them away? Really? Anyhow, a host of media personalities, of course, Hollywood celebrities and Democrats, God love them, deceptively framed his comments as referring to some immigrants. A narrative continued in the Thursday briefing question. There's a spark of divinity in every person on earth, and that we all have to recognize that, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said as she slammed Trump for calling MS-13 members animals. Hey, Nancy, how about you house Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego in your mansion for a few weeks? Go bail him out of jail. Say, bienvenido a mi casa. Me llamo Nancy. I believe you have el spark of human divinity. Even though you decapitated a man and ripped out his heart after stabbing him 100 times. Mi casa es su casa. If you necesito anything, please call my servant Angela and her sister Perequina. Let's see, this any chance they get, every single thing. Okay, just as a hypothetical, imagine what would have gotten done by this administration if they hadn't been stalled and muzzled at every turn. Because there's a lot of stuff getting done, even with the Democrats and some Republicans trying to do everything they can to oppose it. But just imagine what could have gotten done. But see, it's not the good of the nation that these people are after. They want the reins of power. That's what they've always wanted. And Donald Trump was the wrench in their works, man, because it shouldn't have been him. It should have been Pantsuit Barbie. All of these traitors already had positions picked out in higher office. I guarantee it. All of these treasonous public servants in FBI and DOJ who covered up crimes for Pantsuit Barbie. Every single one of them had their cush job set aside. And then the man with the comb over came out of nowhere. And they still haven't gotten over it yet. So Nancy Pelosi, the esteemed genius minority leader says there's a spark of divinity in every person on earth. So that's my advice to Madam Pelosi. If you feel so strongly about the spark of divinity, vouch for Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego and welcome him into your palatial estate and say, bienvenido, you hypocrite. You live in a gated community behind a fenced-in mansion with bodyguards 24/7. And American citizens are getting decapitated and getting their hearts ripped out of them. And you're defending the animals that do it? So yes, Nancy slammed Trump for calling MS-13 members animals. Now, not to be outdone, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom said Trump is like a slave owner. Or Nazi for Trump's description of the murderous gang members. They've thrown that term Nazi around so much that, you know, people have just gotten, they've gotten immune to it. Look, if you can't call someone who is obviously an animal, then who can you call an animal? And I have the same proposition for the Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. Welcome, if you will, into the bosom of thine family, Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego, and let him live with you. Not for long, just a summer. See how many of your loved ones end up decapitated and heartless. The Associated Press issued a tweet correction, of course they did, on Thursday, admitting it had incorrectly framed Trump's comment. This is the Associated Press. Every single media outlet is carrying the water of the propagandizers. It's astounding to me. So when someone like Donald Trump comes out and says fake news, chances are better than good that it is. Do you realize this? When the man says fake news, it probably is. Now, this year, ICE arrested 475 gang members in a sting operation, 99 of whom claimed unaccompanied minor status. Are you listening? Remember the little kiddies with the pacifiers? 100 out of 475, that's 20%, 22% if you want to be more accurate still, claimed unaccompanied minor status, 65 of whom were shortly thereafter released into the United States by an immigration judge. Thank you, immigration judge. The MS-13's beheading of a victim that Sanders referred to on Thursday is likely the case of a 10-person gang ambush in Maryland. A 19-year-old has been arrested in connection. Again in Maryland, the gang beating of a 15-year-old sex trafficking victim. And the other one in Houston. So, let's break this down a little bit. You have elected officials actively promoting an agenda that is demonstrably detrimental to the citizens from whose tax money these elected officials earn their keep. You have elected officials, American citizens feel like second-class citizens, while praising the virtues of a gang who is known for decapitating people and ripping their hearts out of their chests. The world is turned so upside down, if you dare call an animal, you're labeled a racist. Look, I wish at this juncture that I could be hyper-spiritual, but I'm a realist. You're free to do whatever you want to do up until the moment and up until the point that you present a danger to my family. Once that line is crossed, then we're done with the talking kid. Once I perceive a danger to myself, my children, or my wife, then the discussion's over. Now, it's demonstrable that this gang presents a danger to the U.S. citizens of every city that they've been able to get a foothold in. And we're not just talking about little cities. Maryland, for Pete's sake. So yes, even in this, Donald Trump is right. And again, I beg thee, Nancy Pelosi, welcome with open arms into the bosom of your family, Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego. Search within him for the spark of his divinity. But make sure you're quick about it, because he may just try to stab you 100 times, cut off your head, and rip out your heart. So, that's what happened over the last 2 weeks. Wish we had time for more. But apparently, the hour is up. Can you believe how quickly it went? Anyway, thank you all for listening. I know it was sort of a departure from what we normally talk about, but it needed to be said. Until next time, hopefully next week, may God bless you, may God keep you, and may you walk in wisdom. As always, thank you again, and have a good night. I believe that is the end of the program, because at least my computer is saying 7 p.m. on the dot. God bless and good night.